This episode of the Best of 7 Sports Talk is sponsored by The Reflection Connection. For all your natural health care products, go to The Reflection Connection. That's connection with a K. All right, NBA fans, enjoy the show.
T7M Radio brings to you the Best of 7 Sports Talk with 7 Mitchell.
All right, y'all, we are rocking. 1212. Salute to the NBA community, man. Y'all already know what the vibes is here. I'm 7 Mitchell. This is the Best of 7 Sports Talk. And we are in free agency world right now, community. And there's so much going down in the National Basketball Association. Today is the day that Damian Lillard finally decided to demand a trade out of Portland. Joining me today, I got a special guest. Y'all already familiar with my brother from another. Definitely had to bring the pros up here today for this show because we got a lot to break down. BA from Get Your Bars Up Media is in the building. BA, what's happening, family?
Hey, man, we got some things to talk about, man. And I'm glad to be back, man. Salute. Team 30 for 30.
You already know, my God. Lord, have mercy. Like, let's... First of all, we haven't spoken in a minute on air when we talk about basketball. I think we haven't spoken since Denver won the championship, right?
Pretty much.
Good God. Like, you put a lot of respect on Nikola Jokic's name for a long time. Like, what's your reaction to Denver beating Miami in the finals and winning their first ever championship?
I mean, it's not a surprise to myself due to the fact Miami was just outmatched, and how they got to the finals to me was incredible. But if you think about it, if you think about the year before, they were a really good defensive team and pretty much the same exact team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals the year before is made it to the finals and broke through this year with some names that weren't really big time. But as far as Denver, I've been saying this for a while. Jamal Murray is an amazing sidekick.
You've been saying that, bro.
An amazing sidekick. When he's number one, they're not going to do much with it. If he's number one, the guy, not so much, but as a sidekick, he's going to he's going to wreak havoc.
Is Nikola Jokic, like, has he garnered the title of best player in the world right now?
Yes.
Really?
I say that because of his numbers, and on top of his numbers, he's winning. And he's already proved to us that he is who he is and that what he brings to the table is not a fluke. And to actually go all the way this year and actually win the championship with LeBron, Giannis, and Steph and all these other big names still in the culture. And you win the championship, that's big time. I got to give him his props. He moved up. He top six all-time center to me.
Wow. Well, let me ask you then, BA, because I'm pretty sure strength of schedule always play a role. You talked about how good and dominant he has been. What competition is Jokic facing at the big man position, though? Like,
He's really not facing too much competition these days because of the game is a stretch. It's a stretch game. True. And then usually a lot of the fives in the NBA, they're not really offensive players. They're rim runners who play defense. And that's pretty much it. Offensively, no. It's only a few. Brooke Lopez. What's your guy? Joel Embiid. And I'm trying to figure out somebody else. I can't think of really other big men who are at the five position who are just that dominant. Right. I was going to say DeAndre Ayton, but we're going to throw that name in the trash can. Trade that man.
So I can't say that Nikola is a little overrated because he's not really facing nothing. I mean, you talk about how consistent and good his numbers is, but who is he facing consistently night in and night out for this 82 plus game stretch? That's always been one of my arguments. Like, he's not banging against nobody consistently. There's really no big men like that in the game no more.
He is, that's the thing about it. This is what I think a lot of people overlook. He is battling teams.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Not just battling a big man now. Like back in the day, he can just head up, go one-on-one. But now, like all five defensive players have to keep an eye on him, have to be in the, have to dip in the lane. And even if they clog the lane up, he can still shoot the three.
That's and true. Then
he's so unselfish that once he gets all that attention and he gets a double or a triple team, he knows where everybody is on the floor, which is great coaching as well. Great coaching as well.
Yeah, his basketball IQ is definitely through the roof. he's not a mistake maker. So, you know, I'll give Nikola Jokic his props for that. When you look on the other side of the NBA Finals with the Miami Heat, just real briefly before we get into the show, Jimmy Butler. What did Jimmy Butler prove to you at the end of the finals? Do you feel like he's shown you something more than you expected? Did he go down a tier to you? What did Jimmy Butler wind up showing you at the end of the day?
He showed me that he's not a superstar. That's what he showed me. He showed me that he is a star. And he showed me that he's a dope leader. But as far as him not being a superstar, I feel like he's too nonchalant in crunch moments and in crucial games, especially going down the stretch of the NBA Finals, where he just even in the Eastern Conference Finals, low key he might not have been the MVP of that.
Yeah, yeah. Caleb Martin was definitely doing his numbers, right?
Exactly. So he showed me, he pretty much showed me that he's a star and that he can help a team out tremendously, but he showed me that he's going to need an actual superstar beside him to take it to the next level.
Now, by saying that, are you saying that he can never be a number one? Or are you saying that he could be a number one, but he needs a better number two? Is Jimmy Butler ever going to be a number one point of attack?
Honestly, I don't think he's going to being a number one. He can never win a championship being a number one.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say.
Gotcha.
He could be a number one and help and give and be charismatic, give his team energy. But when it comes to taking your game to the next level, where it is the Eastern Conference or the finals,
right?
He might be able to give you a game. But he's not going to take it to that level in those particular moments to where you're just like, damn, like he can take over the whole fight. He's not going to pull a Dwayne Wade. Right. He's not going to pull a Giannis Antetokounmpo, a LeBron James where, all right, this is my time. I got to do this now. He's too laid back and too nonchalant to be that.
I got you. Shout out to my guys in the live chat, man. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Y'all know we about to get things lit. I got BA from Get Your Bars Up Media joining me this afternoon, man. Y'all know the vibes, man. Salute to my brother, Good Seven, in the building. He says Jimmy Butler is very good number two. Shout out to my brother in the building, Scrub Zero. He also say Jimmy Butler is a number two. So shout out to the Denver Nuggets for, you know, getting their history. Unbelievable run that they've had. And I just had to get BA thoughts and opinions because, you know, we haven't really spoken since the finals have ended. Salute to my brother Larry and my brother Kay from In the Basement Podcast. They in the building as well. Salute to my dogs.
No podcast, by the way. I watched them the other day. Salute to them.
Man, my guys, man. Another dynamic duo. You already know. Let's get things started, man. This is the first quarter of the Best of Seven, and y'all know what we came here for this afternoon. Let's talk about it. Oh, man. Let's talk about it, man. Damian Lillard, finally BA. We've been talking about this maybe for about 2-3 years. Finally, yes, Damian Lillard gets some guts, and he decides to request a trade from the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, I want to get your reaction to this, but keep in mind, Damian Lillard does not have a no trade clause like Bradley Beal had in Washington, I believe. So Portland could actually be petty and send him to the situation that's best for the team, or they could be honorable and send him to where he wants to actually go. A lot of talks is him are coming for Miami. Miami said they may have a package involving, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, and some draft picks, if I'm not mistaken, for Damian Lillard. What's your reaction to Dame finally requesting a trade? And where do you think Portland is going to send this boy? Because like I said, he don't have a no trade clause, so he don't have really the leverage that, you know, it may seem like he got.
First and foremost, I want to clap it up for Dame.
Oh, we're going to give it up for Dame one time. Let's get a round of applause.
Yes. I'm so happy for Dame to actually come out and talk his ish, man. He's such a stand-up guy that I know that for the past 2 years, he's been wanting to leave, especially when they got rid of CJ. I know he was like, yo, I got to get up out of here. But he's so stand-up, he don't want to go to the public and make it seem like he a certain type of way. But this is in today's NBA. Thank you, Dame. Talk your ish. Use your leverage. And as far as the Portland Trail Blazers, I think they respect him. I think they respect him because he's arguably the greatest Blazer to ever play. Arguably. Because you still got Clyde. You still got Clyde did a lot, too, for the franchise. But I think they're going to respect. I think they're going to respect him. And they're not going to send him anywhere west. And they're going to send him to a decent team, a contender in the East. I believe so. And the two teams that I see possibly would be Miami and Brooklyn. Those are the two teams I can actually see him going to that do have the draft picks and have the pieces as far as the money, because you know you got to trade the money and match the money and do three team trade deals and things of that nature. Those are the two teams that I can see him on and see him possibly going to.
You think he would be happy in Brooklyn? I think he would have a fit if he had to play with Ben Simmons. You think that would work?
I actually think that that's what Brooklyn is missing. They have the defense. They were like a top five or top six defense at the end of the year, but they couldn't score the ball.
Yeah, they lost all their offense just like that with Kyrie, KD, and James Harden. Like they lost everything. So
I can definitely see him there, but I would love to see him. What were we just talking about with Jimmy Butler? That's the type of player that Jimmy Butler needs to play beside, because Jimmy can play defense, talk his ish, but now he has a go-to player down the stretch that he can go to that can hold his weight.
Well, I said they're going to give him a good faith trade. They're going to send him where he wants. I don't know. I mean, I hear y'all. I hear y'all, but we have been fans of the National Basketball Association for a long time, and we know at the end of the day, this is a business. And if he doesn't have a no-trade clause, like at the end of the day, Portland would have to be a fool to not do something that's going to be more valuable for them moving forward.
I think
the only reason why they probably would honor what Damian want is for the simple fact that he didn't make it messy in the media as many times as he could have. He never made it a story. The stories always come to him. For that, in combination with the loyalty that he's shown, Portland, I think, probably would look bad if they, don't do right by him. But I'm going to be honest, bro. I like Damon. You said they're going to send him east. Yeah. What about Damian linking up with Victor in San Antonio? You don't like Damon Victor Wembanyama?
I think that would be amazing. I would love to see that, but I don't think they want to see Dame 3 to 4 times a year, though. I don't think they want to see him to 4 times a year. That's my only thing when it comes to that, but perfect. But another team, if this is not for Damian Lillard right now, this is for the Portland Trail Blazers specifically.
Okay.
I would go to OKC get all them draft picks that I can, and then might snatch up some great, some young great talent that they got to move forward for as a franchise. They got a lot of draft picks, man. They got a lot of
Dame to Oklahoma City.
I would go get Oklahoma City has all the gold that they're sitting on because they got unexpected talent that they received that wasn't supposed to be who they are.
But ain't that disrespecting Dame? Because what's Dame going to do in OKC with nothing?
But that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about for the not for Dame, not on Dame's behalf. For the organization. I'm talking about for the franchise.
For the organization.
For the franchise of Portland, go get everything you can get out of OKC because you're gonna get a lot of good things out of OKC if you were to do that. But that's just an opinion, though. I know it ain't happening, it's far-fetched, but they got a lot of draft picks and they got a lot of young players that are nice on the come up.
Now, D Ward in the live chat to me said one of the more logical scenarios that I thought before this situation happened. When you have the friction, kind of so to say, between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in Boston trying to figure out, you know, if that thing is ever going to work. What about Damian being traded for Jaylen Brown, sending Jaylen to Portland and having Dame link up in Boston? But Damon said he don't want to play in Boston, didn't he? He said he doesn't want to play in Boston.
Yeah, he said he didn't say it direct like that, but pretty much what he was saying was, yeah, he not really rocking with Boston. But that would be a dope trade too, because everybody get their money because they're about to pay Jaylen Brown how much? 200 and something, 280 something or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
The max. Yep, yep.
Yeah,
because him and Jason 13. Looking at about $600 million.
You see, that's
that's crazy.
Yo, yeah,
that's crazy because we done read the book before. We already know how far that's going to take them. Like that, they're not going to get no further than they've already went. I don't
exactly believe. Exactly. They need a leader. They need a leader. That's what they need. They need a ball handler. That's actually like a point guard. That's what Boston, I believe Boston needs. Somebody that's going to set the table, not know, oh, it's your turn. No, it's my turn. No, it's your turn. And then both of them trying to be point guards and creators, and they not that, turning the ball over too much.
So let's go back to Dame, right? Let's go back to Portland. Let's say, hypothetically, they send Damian Lillard to Miami for that package that I talked about, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and some draft picks. I don't think that's really helping Portland out any. I think that's benefiting Miami, of course. But do you see Damian Lillard going to Miami and Miami being like the automatic contenders in the Eastern Conference?
Nah, I don't see that happening due to the fact that we're gonna talk about this a little later. They got rid of Gabe Vincent, and then Max Strus was a huge significant piece who just who did he sign with?
He signed with
Charlotte. Who it was somewhere he just signed. He just signed a nice deal somewhere.
Gabe went to the Lakers. I forgot where Strus went at.
Yeah, I got it. But they lost Strus and they lost Gabe Vincent, two significant pieces. If they can bring in some other type of free agents to come in and help, it would help them offensively significantly. But they're gonna need a few more shooters because you essentially got rid of all your shooters.
Yeah, Max did the sign and trade with Cleveland.
Cavs, yeah, which is a big thing for the Cavs, low key. Watch what Strus do out there.
So is there a team that Damian Lillard could realistically go to in a trade that would automatically put them at the top of the food chain?
I don't believe that there right now. I don't believe that there is a team with the assets because you're going to have to give up a lot to get them. So that's why I couldn't really. Miami would probably be his best bet. Miami would probably be his best bet, or you might be able to put some stuff up together in Milwaukee. You might be able to throw a couple things in Milwaukee and have him and Giannis play together. I could see that possibly happening as well, but I can't really see a team where he goes to and they're automatically going to be the ones due to what the other team has to give up.
This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Seven Mitchell in the building. We got BA from Get Your Bars Up Media joining us, man. We talking about Damian Lillard finally requesting a trade, man. Shout out to my brother in the live chat, Anthony, in the building. I see you. B.A. Tully says it might be a stretch, but you know, what about the Sacramento Kings? How much of an impact could you see Dame having over there with De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento? I think they too small. I don't think that makes sense for Dame to go over there because they still be too small. But what you think about him playing for the Kings?
I actually would love to see him play for the Kings. I think that would be a great fit for him. And I think that would be enough for him to win a championship, but it would be we might definitely see them in the Western Conference Finals with them. But once again, that depends on what the Kings have to give up to get them.
My brother K Doe's in the building. Salute to my brother. He say Damian's gonna get traded to Boston for Jaylen Brown. We just spoke on that too. I mean, Sacramento, man, if Dame was to go to Sacramento, like that definitely helped shift the narrative when we talk about teams in California.
Yeah.
You know, the pace that they would have would be crazy. But I just feel like they're not big enough. Like, they don't have no rim protection. They don't have no size. Draymond decided to stay in Golden State. Now, Draymond was still available, or Draymond went to Sacramento and Dame went, then I would definitely jack the move. But
yeah,
I'm not sold that really Dame would be in a much better position. You know, Dame would want to win now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's only kind of like a handful of teams that I think Dame could go to realistically and have a chance to be in the finals next season.
If you think about it, what K-Doz just said, salute to K-Doz, my guy. Boston, if they were to trade him straight up, sign and trade with the Jaylen Brown situation for Jaylen Brown and the draft pick, he would help. Like, Boston would be – I like that because they have a ball handler on the other side that can score the ball and they can actually set the table for the rest of the squad. So I would like that trade. And that's probably the only team right now that I think would be the team that could win a championship if that trade were to happen, like right away.
Scrub Zero spoke on Boston picking up Porzingis. I forgot about Kristaps being a new Celtic.
Yeah, they're gonna try that. You know they're gonna experiment with that. That's why I don't think that trade is happening with Jaylen Brown and Damian Lillard, at least this year.
Should the fans of Portland be upset with Dame, BA, at this point after this announcement? Should the Portland Trail Blazers fans be upset at Dame? How should they feel at this point?
I don't think they should be upset. He did what he could do for them. Been to a few Western Conference Finals, couldn't break over the hump, and it's not Dame's fault. It's the general manager. They did a horrible job of trying to mesh and get people there to come play with Dame. You got that the general manager has to, and the owner of the team has to go out, and they gotta make it lucrative, and they gotta put like some special sauce on why Portland is a place where people should be able to play. And they have not done that. They have not done that for years. They
just impossible. It's damn near impossible. And that's been my thing. I'm like, yo, it's not that people don't want to play with Dame. Portland is just not the marketplace people want to go to play basketball for a few years to try to build something right now. Like, that's just not the spot. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. So,
that's what it is, man. I don't know, but you know, we'll see in the near future, hopefully, where Damian Lillard actually winds up. I agree. I don't think that the fans should be real upset with Dame, but I wouldn't be mad if some of them will be mad because Dame been on this BS, talking this loyalty stuff and all this, and he's not even given this new opportunity a shot. Like, they had the number two first player in the draft, I believe. They had the, you know what I'm saying, with Scoot Henderson. So he's not even given this situation a chance. So I could see if some Portland Trailblazers fan would be a little bit disappointed that he requested this trade at this point. But, you know, like you said, B.A., when you look at what he's given to this organization, this city, outside of, like, Clyde Drexler, he may be the greatest Portland Trailblazer of all time. You know what I'm saying? Or one of the
he made the Portland Trailblazers year after year when they're supposed to be a lottery or eighth seed at best. He made them relevant, and he's been making them relevant for the past, I don't know, for damn near a decade. He's made them relevant, bro.
So look at the moments he's had, like in the playoffs, like sending OKC home, like the big shots that he's had in Portland. Like, he's definitely solidified a legacy in Portland.
Yeah, they got remember the players that they had. They had a couple pieces. They ran LaMarcus Aldridge off when he still had years in his prime.
They ran Melo out
of there too. Where, like, these are people that could still play and could have probably recruited other players to come play with them.
That's a fact. All right, BA, let's get into the next topic here at the Best of Seven Sports Talk, man. Seven Mitchell, BA, we in the building, man. Y'all already know the vibes, man. If y'all part of the NBA community, if y'all part of the Best of Seven community, smash that like button, subscribe to the platform if you guys are new. Let's get BA into topic number two. Let's talk briefly about ESPN and all these layoffs that happened yesterday. So it seems like every year we go through this with ESPN with their volume of layoffs, and they went crazy yesterday. Some names surprised me when it came to the releases. What was the biggest surprise in your opinion from, you know, the layoffs of ESPN?
Jeff Van Gundy and Jalen Rose were the top two standouts for me.
Really? Jeff is horrible. You like Jeff Van Gundy,
bro? Like, you don't like we can talk crazy about Jeff Van Gundy, but what he's brought to ESPN during basketball season, especially commentating during games, is priceless. Why? Because he be on BS sometimes, but a lot of times he calls out things that he's probably not supposed to call out. Like, I don't know why they called that foul. I don't know why that ref is. Look at this ref on the last play. He's a bit of a rebel. Yeah.
He's a bit of a rebel. And I do like the back and forth with him and Mark Jackson. I do.
Priceless, bro. We've been watching that for years now. So I was surprised about that. And then Jalen Rose. I like the ish that Jalen Rose be talking, man. I feel like he's one of the best NBA analysts out there on the market, and to get rid of him for whatever reason is crazy to me.
That Ja Morant interview did Jalen Rose in, bro.
Yeah,
that did him. He did not slam the gavel on Ja Morant the way they wanted him to. Like, yeah, he was giving Ja Morant a chance to breathe. They didn't want him to conduct that interview like that. They wanted to drive the stake into Ja Morant, make him feel bad, do all this extra stuff. Jalen didn't take that. I believe that definitely played a role, because look, I mean, if it's not that, bro, what else could it be? So Jalen was the man.
What did he say, Seven? He said, so Ja, whose gun was it?
You know, Jalen ain't going to really sell out like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jalen going to do what he got to do professionally, but Jalen ain't going to sell out, man. I remember the back and forth he used to have with Stephen A. and Skip Bayless, you know what I mean? Even at a young situation, he ain't like no Kendrick Perkins and all that. Like, he ain't going to really sell out like that. He have his little moments, but I was definitely surprised that they got rid of Jalen and kept somebody like Kendrick Perkins. But then when I thought about it, you know, all Kendrick Perkins do is bash people. You know, he's like that under that wing of Stephen A. Smith. So I see why that whole First Take team, you know, they still together.
This is what a lot of people are not talking about too. And this goes in regards to your guy, your greatest player of all time. Salute to him.
LBJ.
Salute to him. They kept a lot of clutch sports media. They didn't even bring up any of those. Everybody that a lot, like half of their staff that are analysts are assigned with Clutch Sports. Clutch.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who are not, they're out of there. They got rid of season. Susie Colbert. And she was with the company for 27 years.
20-something years, bro. Almost 30 years. Never been a troublemaker. We, you know, she stuck the business dead at her. Steve Young out of here. Max Kellerman out of here. Really, yes, bro.
And Max, bro, I don't know why Max is getting the, like, Max is dope at what he does, bro. That, like, he about to make a lot of money somewhere else, though, I think. I think Max is one of those guys. He's about to get paid somewhere else.
You know, his days was numbered, man. Ever since, you know, the whole Stephen A. Smith, that his days was numbered, man. Because, you know, they got this guy, Pat McAfee, coming into ESPN now. He, you know, they clearing out money for him and Stephen A. It's just crazy, bro. The ESPN do this year in and year out, bro. I don't know how we can respect them.
But it has, I don't remember it ever being like this. This was major. This year during this moment, it's major names. You feel me? And with the major names, that tells me that the ratings and things of that nature, they're not doing as well as they once were.
Absolutely not. You know why? And I'm not talking about me specifically. It's because of us. The social media, the internet, these new independent platforms, such as what I have, such as what you have over there, Get Your Bars Up Media. You know what I mean? Shout out to all the sports platforms. Like, we're changing the game. Yeah. And the ESPNs, the Fox, they're still the most prominent, the most dominant, because they're on television. But people are going different outlets and different places to get opinions, analysis, and entertainment. So, you know, that old school mentality and delivery of giving out news and information from ESPN and a lot of shows, it don't work no more, because we got a lot of different, you know, personalities online that's giving the same information but delivering it in their own little customized way, and they not filtered. So, you know, it's going to be hard for these networks to really keep competing at a point.
I got a question for you, Seven. Once you finish up, when was the last time you, not during a basketball game or an NFL game, when was the last time you watched ESPN SportsCenter and that, like, sat down and actually watched it, bro?
Bro, it, BA, I'm a, oh my God. I'm gonna be so honest. It had to be at least 7 years. Like, I literally stopped watching ESPN dedicated lives when Skip went to Fox in 2016. Yeah. Like, once that happened, everything that ESPN had going on, I was just always iffy. Like, I might catch an episode of NBA Today, stuff like that. Yeah. But just as a supporter of ESPN, bro, it's been about 5 to 7 years since I actually watched them or look for information from them at this point.
Bro, shout out to Ant.
That's a fact, bro.
Like, all I do is watch clips. I've been watching clips probably since like 2016, 2017, to watching the first takes and actually watching the whole show. Yep. Like, I used to watch the whole show.
The whole entire debate show.
And watch it. Now, I only watch clips on YouTube, bro. That's it. Any sports with any station. You feel me? I didn't even watch Shannon and Skip. I didn't watch that. I watched the clips, though. I watched a lot of the clips of the subjects, but that's my point when it comes to the viewership. Like you were saying, the podcast and YouTube is taking over with these clips, because hundreds of millions of people watching these clips every single day, not watching the show.
Now, you brought up a name who's kind of been an elephant in the room. I don't think it's going to happen, but some people saying a lot of these layoffs are happening because they're trying to free up some money for Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
I don't think that Skip was allowed Shannon Sharp in that buyout agreement to work for ESPN, but I don't know what the agreement was specifically. And I heard that he was supposed to take a job with FanDuel or something. So do you realistically think that Shannon would return to ESPN?
I believe that he would if the bag is what it is. And if they're clearing out all of this so they can clearing out all of these big names so they can bring in a couple big faces to it. It's not a bad idea, but this is just a rumor. I don't know if this is real or not, but FanDuel, I heard FanDuel is offering Shannon Sharp between $80 to $100 million.
Really?
This is what I am hearing. And if that is the case, that's where he's probably going to be.
Sign me up. Jeez.
Yeah, but he, you don't understand, like, Shannon did exactly what he was supposed to do. People knew who he was for a tight end, and then he would say some ridiculous takes on NFL Today when he was with CBS and all of that stuff. You feel me? He people was like, yeah, whatever. But when he jumped on that Skip Bayless train with that show, and then he actually created and made his own, like, he became Shannon Sharp. People don't even know that. People don't even know he even played football no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
People forget that he's one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game. Hall of Famer. Now we look at him as, oh, that's the dude. Hey, now he's Unk. Now we call him Unk. Now we talk about Black and Miles. He got his own podcast now where he's getting, each video is getting like 300,000 to a million views each clip that he puts out on his channel. Yep. That's big, bro. That's big.
Shannon is definitely set himself up, you know, for success outside of the game, most definitely. And I think the next move that he is going to make is probably going to be a big one. So,
yeah,
I just don't think that it's going to be with ESPN, though.
I don't think it's going to be with ESPN as well, but I will say that it is possible.
Word. So this morning, BA, I woke up to some news, man. I see that the homie Derrick Rose is going back to Memphis. Everybody know Derrick Rose played college ball for Memphis, the Memphis Tigers.
Yes.
He is locked in and is going to be joining Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. You think that's a good move for Derrick Rose and the Grizzlies?
Oh. Shout out to D. Rose, man. He's always going to be one of my favorites. But to me, it doesn't do much. It doesn't do much. He's gotten older. He can be a good leader, possibly. He could be a good leader for Ja. When Ja comes back, he can be in Ja's ear, telling him what, like, stay out of this, stop doing this dumb stuff, and all of that. He can do that. But as far as like contributing,
you think
Derrick
Rose is a good leader? You think he's somebody to? I mean, I ain't trying to shoot at D. Rose. I mean, D. Rose, iffy as I don't know what, bro. Like, you talk about mental health. Him and Ja Morant, imagine if they still had a homeboy. What's his name? Dylan Brooks. Jeez, man, Christmas.
So I'm only going off of what, who was it? Jalen Brunson spoke highly of him. Who was another guy? Spencer Dinwiddie, I believe, spoke high. It's a couple of guards who actually were doing well and spoke on the leadership of Derrick Rose. So that's why I say, like, to be not leadership, like, on the floor, I'm leading the team, but like the back, like they used to do back in the day, the old NBA.
A veteran, used to have, like a real veteran.
Yeah, a vet. Yeah, you got the 35, 36, 34-year-old, and then you got the young players, and then they're not getting time on the court, but off the court, Udonis Haslam. Yo, y'all need to get off that BS. I believe that he can do that for Ja. I believe that's what it's for, honestly.
Let's get into the third quarter topic, man. Let's talk about NBA free agency. Now, BA, since we've been on live here at the Best of Seven Sports Talk, a lot of things have already transpired within these last couple minutes. I'm going to run by you. But I do want to talk about what has happened over the last couple of days in free agency. But just real quick, just to let you know. So LaMelo Ball, he's agreed to a 5-year, $260 million max deal to stay in Charlotte. So LaMelo signed with Charlotte. Austin Reeves, he got paid with the Lakers. He just agreed to a 4-year, $56 million deal with the Lakers.
Yes.
The Knicks, they are actually finalizing a trade to send Obi Toppin to the Indiana Pacers for a couple future second-round picks.
They're
getting rid of Obi. I seen he had some issues. He was talking kind of crazy. I saw it in the media not too long ago, so I figured they was going to get him out of here. But let's talk about free agency, bro, winners and losers. Like, we're not going to break everything down because it was a lot of moves. At first, it seemed like it wasn't nothing box office going to happen because everybody was re-signing with their team. Draymond signed, re-signed with Golden State. Chris Middleton re-signed with
Milwaukee.
And it just didn't seem like a lot of major box office moves were going to be made, but we definitely had things happen since the beginning of free agency. What are some of the standout things that has happened so far to you in this last day or so when it comes to free agency?
I'm high on the Houston Rockets right now.
Fred VanVleet?
Yeah, Fred VanVleet, to go along with them young guys and Udoka as the head coach. That franchise is gonna, I'm not saying that they're gonna make the playoffs, but within the next couple years, especially with the draft pick of one of the twins, and then you got the big man that's gonna probably come off the bench now. I like where they're going in their direction right now. And then on top of that, the Los Angeles Lakers, man. I'm tired of y'all cheating for LeBron, man. Y'all need to stop cheating for LeBron, LA.
Well,
LA. yo, man. I'm looking.
I gotta give it up for Rob Pelinka. I'm sorry. I gotta give it up.
All of y'all throwing eggs at Rob Pelinka. Y'all need to praise that man right now. Y'all need to go apologize to that man. What he's done since the second half of this past season to now, getting Gabe Vincent, re-signing Reeves, Hachimura, and then who they got? What's the wing man?
They just re-signed D'Angelo Russell. We just re-signed D'Angelo Russell earlier today to a 2-year, $37 million deal.
Y'all probably going to trade that as an asset, trade him as an asset. But
we picked up, we did pick up, the Lakers have been busy. You know what I mean? I've been looking at a lot of different things. The Lakers.
Y'all just got a good wing player, though.
Cam Reddish. We got Cam Reddish.
Y'all got Cam Reddish, too?
We got Prince.
Prince. Yep. Yep. No, bro, y'all stop cheating. Stop cheating. Yo, y'all go. Y'all got a squad, bro. Y'all got the Lakers. That is the winner right now to me of this whole entire thing right now. Nobody is doing what the Lakers have done. The pieces that they've brought in on top of what they have. And I think Gabe Vincent is one of the most underrated picks that
Hold on for a second, BA.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, Gabe Vincent to LA, y'all got a steady point guard that can shoot the rock, can create his own, and now he got LeBron and he got AD, he got other pieces. He's not in Miami where he had to be forced to be the guy to do, man. And yet they still have an overrated dinosaur still on the team. Shout out to Scrub Zero. But yeah, Seven to be back, y'all. He had to go handle some business real quick. But this NBA offseason it should be interesting. It's a couple more people they're trying to figure out. Because we can talk about Kyrie Irving re-signing with the Mavs. I don't know how that's gonna help. But oh, yeah, Seven is back in the mix. Okay. Before I jump the gun. Are you on mute? You're on mute.
All right, can we hear me? 1-2-1-2?
Yes, sir.
All right, bet. So, yeah, man, getting back, I hear you, Kyrie re-signing with Dallas. Were you surprised that he did that?
No, because he's all about his money. I don't think Kyrie cares about winning. I think he's trying to get as much money as he can out the door.
What about Chris Paul linking up with Steph and them in Golden State, bro?
I don't see how that's going to work. Can it work? Yes, it can work. But Golden State likes to run. They like to run and gun. That ain't Chris Paul's game no more. And plus, how is his hamstring going to hold up running and gunning? Is he going to come off the bench? Because he can't. He shouldn't be starting. He definitely shouldn't be starting. So, they didn't really do much. I mean, the name on paper, yeah, it looks cool. But in real life, we got to see, bro.
Who was the biggest loser? I know you said you feel like the Lakers was the biggest winner in free agency. At this point, who do you think was the biggest loser?
Right now, the biggest loser right now to me, like to keep it 100, I think Miami is the biggest loser right now.
Miami more than Philly? Because I think Philly is so up in the air with James Harden. See, you really don't know what direction the Sixers are going to be.
It's like they both are like this right now because we're still in free agency. So we don't know what's going to happen within the next week or so. But right now, I would say 1A and 1B, Philly and Miami. Those are the two biggest losers to me at this very moment.
Yeah, man.
I wouldn't even say Philly right now because they still got their pieces until they figure it out. Miami, they don't know what they're going to do. They might not even get Damian Lillard.
Miami?
Yeah, they might not even get D-Lil.
I respect the culture. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I respect the culture. I just don't. Even if they got Dame, I just don't. I don't know.
Who's the biggest? Because I know you're going to say LA is the biggest winner. I know you're going to say that. But who are the biggest winners and biggest losers to you?
To me, I mean, I'm happy that my team made some moves. You know, Rob Pelinka has been busy. I'm just not sold that the moves he made is really going to be what's going to be needed to be a real contender, beating teams like Denver in the best of seven, you know, series and shit like that. Like, LeBron has to win now. Like, you know, it's not just enough to have a decent team around him. He really needs to have some proven guys to help him in this last run. So I'm happy that moves are made, but I'm not sold. I'm looking like Phoenix with the addition of Bradley Beal, and getting rid of Chris Paul for what it's worth. I feel like Phoenix is the biggest winner, bro, because they got so much firepower. You just got to figure out who's going to kind of conduct that train. But I'm looking at Phoenix as being the biggest loser. I mean, the biggest winner so far in free agency, because I think they really – when you look at all the moves that was made, you could kind of maybe make them favorites
in the West. Definitely.
Losers, bro. The biggest loser to me, like I said, Philly, just because everything is undecided with James Harden and Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul was probably the biggest free agency loser, bro. Because he's not going to be able to, he don't run up and down and side to side like Clay and Steph do. Like, yo, so he's never going to be relevant or impact the starting. And, you know, he'd be a good backup. But who knows if Chris wants to back up Steph? Like, I just don't understand him going to Golden State. Draymond said he didn't like Chris Paul. Like, so I really don't get the move. But
yeah, that's bro. Yeah. Speaking about us, another reason going in what you were saying about your Lakers, the Lakers, right? It's not like they got blew out the water versus they got swept, but it's not like they got blew out the water each game. What the Lakers issue to me was depth. Mm. And I feel like the acquisitions that they got this year brings them a lot of extra pieces that they were lacking in that Denver series, just in case they have to meet them again. I think it was depth. And they got depth to me now.
I can't wait to see what else get made, man. There's a lot of things happening right now. So this free agency period is definitely beginning to be busy. So we'll figure that out. Couple more topics before we go. This kind of gets geared towards the draft. Well, let me start off with this one. I got to start off with this situation first. I got to talk about my boy Bronny real quick, because ESPN came out with a mock draft that in 2024, Bronny would get drafted by the Atlanta Hawks. And, you know, LBJ, King James kind of co-signed it. What's your thoughts about this mock draft? And, you know, I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question. Could you see LeBron going to Atlanta and playing with Bronny in a couple of years?
this LeBron last year with the Lakers. this is last year with the Lakers. Yeah, he opting out. And last year, he gone. It's because his son going to play this year, and then his son going to be one and done. But for those of you who are watching the podcast now, if y'all didn't know that that Bronny James is he's related to Seven Mitchell. That's Seven's nephew.
That's my stepson.
No, that's your nephew. That's his nephew. That's
blood.
That's his nephew. So, when it comes to your nephew, Bronny, I believe that I don't really go off of the mock drafts because we don't know how teams are. We don't know how where teams going to go. We don't know if something significant is going to happen with Atlanta, if they're even going to be in that draft, in that on the board when Bronny comes up. But whoever gets Bronny James, you get LeBron James. So LeBron is going to whoever because he doesn't need the money no more. Definitely doesn't need the money.
That's a fact.
So he's going to go to wherever his son goes, and then y'all going to have a fair. And then y'all going to make a lot of money because he's going to have his farewell tour as well, possibly because it might be his last season. So Atlanta, I don't know, possibly, but I really don't go off of the mock drafts no more because of, like I said, anything could happen in the seasons.
Anything could definitely happen. But as far as this conversation, they better not start this conversation up because Trae Young is not going to be happy with this conversation. If it gets brought up again going into next season, hypothetically, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't think that Trae would want to be in the middle of that whole LeBron and son situation. You know what I mean? Trae has tried to build that team on his own for the last couple of years, taking them to the postseason. So, you know, I definitely don't think Trae would be a part of that. He was kind of questioning, you know, asking to be traded if they didn't get rid of Coach McMillan because the friction they had. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I was just kind of happy to see, even though it was a mock draft, just to see Bronny, you know, ranked so high. You know what I'm saying? I know people are going to say partially because who his father is, but he definitely got to put the work in. And I think he's going to be a decent player. But when I saw Atlanta as the team, I'm like, damn, would LeBron go to ATL and finish things out? So, you know, I thought that was interesting, bro. So we'll see how that thing play out.
Watch out for teams like the Detroit Pistons, the Washington Wizards. Yo,
they're going to have the money.
Exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if a team that doesn't attract a lot of people ends up getting Bronny, and LeBron's like, yo, this is great for publicity. Let me bring this city up real quick. Let me bring this city a couple hundred million real quick in revenue.
Yep. Last topic, BA, before we get up out of here at the Best of Seven Sports Talk, I want to talk about this past draft. I want to talk about the number one draft pick, the homie Victor Wembanyama, going to the San Antonio Spurs. First off, I want to know if you agree or disagree with my thoughts on this situation, because I feel like he is going to be a very impactful player for the San Antonio organization. But his success is not going to come until Coach Popovich is gone. I don't think that old school era, that old school mentality is really going to help the success path of Victor. It might help now when we talk about mentoring and stuff like that. But I think once Pop leaves, he's really going to stand out to be one of the best players in the league. And I honestly think that he's going to take San Antonio to the playoffs next season. That's one of my hot takes. I think Victor is going to take this team to the playoffs in his first season. What's your thoughts on the Spurs drafting him, and how much of a real deal do you think Victor is in the NBA or can be?
I don't know yet. I'm still on the fence. Is his talent God-given, unbelievable? What I've seen, shooting threes and the ball bounces. You shoot your own three and then you catch the ball and you dunk it. Like, you feel me? He's crossing people over. He's looking nice. He's blocking shots. But the pressure that they've already put on this young man,
it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's only one person that I know that had this much pressure put on him and he was successful, and that was LeBron James. And this is more. I think this is even more pressure than LeBron. at this moment, because you have a franchise who, I don't know if you've seen the NBA draft, right? Did you watch the draft?
Mm-hmm. I watched this draft, and it was pretty exciting. It was a good draft. I liked it.
They had a whole stadium full in San Antonio. Spurs fans going crazy. Had the guy talking like, "Welcome here, Victor." He had his people had his jersey on already, going nuts. This is a lot of pressure. People are like, "I would pick you over LeBron James." This is what people are saying, right? But I'm just saying, like, this is what people are saying. This is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's a lot. The expectation level is crazy.
Expectation level is crazy. Like, bro, I'm going to have to see him. I can't give you a definitive answer right now because I got to see what he does during this season. I don't even, like, he's already like 7'4", like 200, 210. Like, bro, I don't know right now, bro. I think that he's talented, and I believe that he does have the game to be one of the greatest, but that pressure, bro, I ain't seen too many people get past that, bro.
The only thing that I think he got in his favor, because I think you're absolutely right, he's going to be facing a tremendous amount of pressure in a sense. I don't think people is really going to be expecting San Antonio to win a lot of games initially, but he's going to be their primary focal point on the offense. They're going to run everything through him. So even though he's going to have a lot of pressure on him, he's going to have a lot of experience early on to work his way through. Like, a lot of times rookies, they don't really get to play a lot at the beginning or the first half of the season. You know what I'm saying? Trying to figure their spots out. Like, they're going to be going at him from day one. And I feel like that experience that he's going to get early on is going to help balance out, you know, that level of expectation with people, you know, seeing what type of ball player he is. I'm excited. I wouldn't put him up there with the LeBrons and none of that. And I don't know if he's going to be the type of player that's going to, like, change the league overall in a few years. But, yeah, when you watch the way this boy play, yo, it's like,
hey, bro,
you can't stop this boy.
It's just the NBA is just different, bro. The athleticism is just going to be – not saying that in the league he was playing in wasn't athletic, but the NBA has a bunch of athletic people. And then – a lot of the veterans or the people that's been in the league for 3, 4, 5 years who started, their body started filling out and they still athletic and they're going to be bumping them. And then they're going to be doing like, bro, it's going to be a lot he has to endure. So I hope the young man does be successful. I hope he doesn't get hurt. But before I jump on that bandwagon and be like, he's the one, I got to see that first year. I got at least see the first 20 to 25 games.
Word. I agree 100%, bro. All right, fellas, y'all already know the vibes. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. We about to wrap this thing up. Salute to my dog, B.A. from Get Your Bars Up Media, bro. Let everybody know what you got going on this week on your YouTube channel, what people can be on the lookout for.
So we actually have our Get Your Game Up podcast featuring me and Capology Facts. We will be speaking at Real Life. And it has nothing to do with battle rap or sports, but it's going to be real. And the numbers have been growing on that. And we're going to have that tomorrow at 2 p.m. PST. Get your game up, man. If you want to get some game and you want to hear different perspectives from the male and the female principal, definitely come holler at us. I think it's dope. It's super, super dope. And then for the rest of the week, we're going to be talking about battle rap. It's a lot of things happening in battle rap. We got people getting punched in their face by superstars and celebrities.
You believe that? You believe that? You believe Papoose put the paws on easy? Yo, that's the yo, you know what though, bro? The battle rap community, bro, ain't shit, yo. Because niggas is really trying to destroy Remy and Papoose merge, bro. Like, Our culture, bro, don't give a shit about nothing.
Black love,
bro.
Too. They trying to destroy black love, bro.
With no, I mean, if Easy and Remy did something, you make your bed, you gotta lie in it. I'm not trying to make it seem like niggas is innocent, but people are creating all these narratives with no proof, like zero proof, like some gossip girl shit, bro. And now the rumors and gossip is spilling over to mainstream bloggers and shit like that, yo. So it is definitely got crazy in battle rap, bro. God damn. You know, so I was thinking like, damn, bro. If URL orchestrated this whole thing, bro, you talk about taking RBE like completely out the damn picture. Like, soon as Mook and Big K happened and dropped, this easy shit happened, and no one has spoken about RBE for like 2 months, bro. I was like, if the URL was behind this whole thing, bro, you talk about a genius move. Damn.
Yes. We're going to talk about and come holler at us this week, because we're going to be talking about the has URL reached their peak yet? And is it any other space that they can go based off of what we've seen and the money not being in battle rap? So come check us out and get your bars up, man. We got a lot to talk about this upcoming week.
Make sure y'all subscribe on my brother's YouTube channel, Get Your Bars Up Media. Follow him everywhere on social media, man. Good dude, good content, and consistent with it, man. Big up to everybody out here in the sports community, in the NBA world. My name is Seven Mitchell. Y'all know the vibes. This is the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Again, smash that like button for the kid one time. Shout out to everybody from the live chat. Big up again to all the supporters. Y'all stay safe, and we are out. Peace, y'all. All right, man, I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of Seven Sports Talk. I'm Seven Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.